Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
The Score! Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
We do love jumping into the film with Tim Jenkins. His YouTube video, the breakdown of the Bears game, is out. I'm going to confess, I haven't watched it yet. That was on my list probably today. So I'm sorry, Tim Jenkins, at T Jenkins Elite. He is the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. And of course, you can watch his breakdowns on YouTube. In the meantime, he joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, and via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Tim?
Uh-oh.
Tim.
I mute myself every week, listen to the ads, and then I always say I'm doing great, and it's just 50-50. I'm okay. Like Caleb Williams, you know, on this Bears offense. I'll come alive in the fourth quarter right when you give up on me.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, what'd you see?
I'm like really happy that they won, because I was about to come on here and be like, boys and girls, we were talking playoffs last week, and now I'm depressed. So, no, I mean, I think, honestly, you peel back the tape, and this was, like, I really think from the tape perspective, is one of his better games as a pro. Like, it was really exciting. We just found ways to shoot ourselves in the foot, whether it be drops or penalties, to where I think the stat line and the way the game ends is, like, a horrific way to beat the Giants. Here's the other thing I'll say about this Giants team is, as bad as I think they are at times, it's funny breaking down the Broncos and the Bears consistently, because the Broncos had one of the greatest fourth quarters of all time to try to beat this Giants team, and they're 8-2, right? So it's like both of the Broncos and the Bears, if the season ends today, are in the playoffs, and they both really struggle to put away this Giants team. So I really don't know if that's like an indictment on the Broncos and the Bears, or if it's a lot of why you saw Brian Daboll go, right? Is that this Giants team is actually sneaky better than you would think, and they just find ways to lose games, whereas some of these better teams are finding ways to win games in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, a lot of stuff there. What I tell you is I think it was one of Caleb's better games as a pro. I think we got to be excited that we finally have a team that feels like they have competitive grit when it comes down the stretch. And then now we're entering the gauntlet of the schedule where – you look at it and you go, man, if we can find a way to steal some of these games, we're going to be in the hunt come those last two against San Fran and Detroit.
Why I love talking to you, Tim, is not just for the evaluation of Caleb himself, but also we get kind of a look at what Ben Johnson is doing from a design standpoint and a week by week where he's trying to take this offense. I was honestly shocked that they didn't try to run the ball more earlier. What did you make of what they were trying to do in the first half of this game from an offensive standpoint?
I'm going to be honest. I'm with you, like, on looking back, right? Looking back at it, I'm like, man, I wish they would have ran it more. Simultaneously, the middle of the field was just wide open the whole day. The amount of, we would call it like a shin six. So if you think about the old school route tree, a six route was an in route, okay? So then Then we decided, oh, hey, we need a basic. That's a 10-yard in. Well, hey, man, we need a shin six. It's a little bit deeper than a basic, and you're going to roll it in. Well, then we need the old school dig. That's all the way to 20 yards. No matter what we were throwing, whether it be a shin six in, a true old school dig, a basic, everything was open. We just couldn't. We couldn't catch the dang thing at first, right? I mean, the amount of balls that just like went off our chest on the old school like shin sixes or dig routes, I think it was two or three of them. Then we get in a scramble drill. So to me, it's like looking back, yeah, I wish we'd have ran the ball more because it's a heck of a lot harder to mess up a handoff than it is to mess up, you know, throwing and catching that thing. Simultaneously, there's a big piece of me schematic that I understand why Ben was doing it because like when you have wide open where it's like, man, there's not a guy within 5 yards. Like that's hard to pass up as a play caller, right? You're sitting there like, man, at some point it was funny because we had been throwing Zacchaeus, you know, that we had been throwing Zacchaeus the ball the whole time. And he had had a couple of drops over the middle. Mm-hmm. And then we formationally get Rome to be that guy down the stretch. And of course he does a good job catching the ball, which is part of why his dad's like, hey, we got to throw the kid the ball more. So to me, I do think, I get why he wasn't. I'm with you looking back on it going, we were just ripping off chunk plays in the run game. We probably should have stuck with it. But I also get why, from their perspective, they were trying to attack down the middle of the field because it was just, it was there, and it was only a matter of time before we started executing every phase of it.
Tim, I would get more into this, and I think it was probably music to the ears of Bears fans to hear you say that this was one of his better games as a pro. Why was this one of Caleb Williams' better games as a pro?
Yeah, for me, a lot of it, you know, and I've come on here, I feel like, and we've talked about it pretty consistently of, man, hey, give those concepts a shot, right? We've got some really great concepts. You know, give him one more hitch, give him one more click. And he finally did that. So for me, it's like, man, you saw him play within structure, call it 70% of the time.
Okay.
Then you saw him be Caleb Williams, unsackable, it felt like.
My God.
30% of the time.
The elusivity that he has is like close to a 10 at this point.
Yeah. It's incredible. So for me, it's like right now we're at that 70-30 split. And like, I'm old school, right? I want to see us get to more 85-15 where it's 85% of the time on time. If we didn't have Ben Johnson, I would actually be okay in the 70-30 world. But Ben Johnson, I view in that same Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan light of like, man, we're going to scheme some stuff open. Let's actually play on time more like 85%. And a lot of people, this is one thing I talked about at the end of the YouTube video I did where it was like, hey, I want to see him play on time 85% of the time. A lot of people are conflating playing fast with playing on time because then I saw in the comments, you guys know I love reading the comments, but it was like, it was
why
like,
do you do
hey,
that to yourself?
We all do it to ourselves. You know, that's
no,
why.
Post and Ghost, and well, his Post and Ghost advice was really good, but I'm about to contradict
post
it.
Post and Ghost.
The Post and Ghost is great advice. Now, I can't do it, but the Post and Ghost, it's good advice. But what I will say is it was like, it was a cool window for me to see the comments because, you know, the ones that weren't like, hey, Tim, you're losing your hair, you're ugly as hell. We got rid of those ones. But the other ones where it was like, hey, Caleb Williams can't play on time. Look how long it takes him to throw. I do want to talk about that for a second because it's – and I know we see on TV a lot, oh, hey, look, it, you know, he's under 3 seconds getting the ball out. That's not really necessarily what I mean when I say playing on time. If we have a shot play called where it's inside zone 7-hitch footwork, you'll never throw under 3 seconds, and that's perfectly okay. We have – you know, double chip, we're keeping 8 guys in. For me, it's more playing on time with the concept called. And that is getting way better. He's giving these things not only one hitch, a single hitch to my deep guy, another hitch, boom, I'm hitting my deep over. That's where he's growing. And I think if we can get him to 85% playing on time in the structure, and then the other 15% is, hey, man, go be special. You know, a couple of those where it was DJ, I thought maybe could have caught it. We had another one in the end zone I thought we could have caught. And then if we get those, the other 15%, look out. Because this offense, to me, it's like, man, if you can get Jared Goff-ish level of play from the pocket with how good Caleb is and how gifted he is, this thing is dangerous. You're going to see it somewhere between what the Lions and the Ravens are. Ooh. Or the Lions and like the Bills where you get that Josh Allen extending the play, but you couple it with playing on time with concepts that you know are going to be there. This thing could be dangerous. And that's why I think I feel so good about them down the stretch is because then you watch last night's game and you go, are the Eagles or the Packers really like that different? And again, I know they're good ball clubs, and I'm not trying to get Bears fans too excited, but like, if you're sitting there and you're the Packers, you're 5-3-1, you lose to the Panthers, you lose to the Browns, and I don't know the other one, but it's not like I'm feeling that different. I don't know. I don't feel that different as I do when I watch these Bears. You know, hey, we struggled to put away the Giants, sure, but like Green Bay lost to Cleveland. Like, you know, we're not like talking about these teams like, man, we feel like they can't, you know, we can't beat them. And I just think a lot of these teams look beatable. If our offense comes alive the way I think it can, and the defense just holds on for dear life, generates a couple of turnovers, all of a sudden you're in some of these games, and I think it's realistic you can go make a run.
So I know we just talked about posting and ghosting, Tim, but I do have this question from one of my DMs because I think it's really good. So yeah, sometimes I see the DMs, and the requests are actually wholesome and interesting. This is from Jeffrey. Please, please, please ask Tim Jenkins about the lack of blocking from OZ on Caleb's late fourth quarter scramble. I feel like he nailed it in his breakdown. Have a wonderful night. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I almost lost my mind, and like in my office at home, I was fuming. So here's the thing. You can make physical errors. You can drop the ball. You can do all that. And I think, you know, would I love to see NFL receivers catch the ball every time? Yeah. I mean, I yell at third grade receivers about not catching the ball, right? So to me, it's like, that's a quarterback thing. Got to get over it. The one that Caleb scrambles and he gets rocked, we give zero effort. Our quarterback gets tackled at the 2-yard line by our guy who, listen, we've dropped so many balls that you pull anyone out of the crowd, they could probably catch. Then we give zero effort and our franchise quarterback, like, and I kind of started going in on the film breakdown because it's like, dude, you know, it's like sarcastically, right? Hey, it's not a big deal. We don't need 18. Like, why would I care about trying to block for the guy who's been throwing me handoffs all the way down the field all day that I haven't caught? And then now I'm going to give no effort in the blocking game. Now, what I will say is he then did block on the final touchdown run. So maybe that got addressed already, but it was horrific effort. It was effort borderline. Where like for me, if I was in building as the receiver coach or the quarterback coach, like I would immediately be pushing for no reps. Like I just think it was just like insulting to the team and the game of football, the lack of effort. And I get it. You're tired from running down the field and dropping the ball, but we got to at least somewhat try for our teammates. And that was horrific. Now I think they probably addressed it already because he did a better job on the scramble touchdown. But yeah, I mean, especially if you're having a bad, if you're already playing bad, you then need to at least have effort, you know, because you're probably making everybody's salary in one game that's like paying money to go get there to watch you loaf and not catch the football. So to me, it's like, yeah, that was a tough one to watch. I still get fired up just thinking about it because I love football. I think the game is supposed to be played a certain way, and then especially for your teammates, and especially for a guy like 18 was out there competing his tail off, trying to get us yards. He's going to get rocked at the 2-yard line. Like the least we could do is attempt to block, even just box out. But it was pretty bad. Now I do trust that this staff will get it corrected.
That is the voice of Tim Jenkins. He's the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He is our film man, specifically when it comes to evaluating the quarterback. You can catch Tim's full Caleb Williams breakdown video on his YouTube channel. That's at All Things QB. Tim, I got to ask you, because you talked about the reps maybe being affected by the effort or lack thereof. You see what Luther Burden III can do. You've seen now what Colston Loveland can do. 7 targets, 7 catches between them in this last game. It seems like it's time to unload these young guys and let Caleb go to work with them.
Really like the Burden kid. I love Colston Loveland too. Now, I'm not as maybe out on Komet. Like, I still see a big role for Komet. Komet's block too on Caleb Williams' touchdown run. I mean, he starts blocking the guy at the 10-yard line, finishes 4 yards in the end zone. Like, that to me is elite effort. That's what you need to go make a playoff push. The Burden kid, though, man, though, I tell you what, that 20-yard stop route that he runs at the end of the game, Caleb is perfect with his footwork. We would call it an inside zone 7 hitch, plays right on time to it. It's a 20-yard, you know, a lot of people maybe call it a Harvey. I like a 20-yard stop. I think it's a little more simple. But the 20-yard stop, it was a great route, physical at the top, slight push off on the hip, right where you want it, where the refs won't call it, but it's impossible if you ever get your hip shoved full speed. You guys should try it in the office. Like you know, you're walking down the hall trying to get a cup of coffee, give Ray like a little shot to his low hip and see it's hard to recover. So to me, like that, it was a perfect route, well executed. And then ultimately, you guys saw it. He catches it 20 yards down the field, and then he goes for another 5, another 10. It felt like DJ Moore level competitiveness with the football in his hand. So yeah, I'd love to see him get some more reps. There is a piece of me, and it's like, as mad as I got at 14, there's a piece of me that, you know, I don't want to rip him all the way to zero, right? Like there's a piece of me that's like, hey, give him enough to try to earn his way back onto the field. And it's not even the physical stuff, it's the effort. So to me, it's like, I think Luther definitely deserves more reps. I think 14 deserves less. And I do think, you know, I don't want to rip him down to zero. I think you got to give him a chance to earn his way back. I think it'd be great to get into some of these even lighter personnel groupings where, hey, maybe we don't even have a back on the field and you actually just motion, you know, DJ back into the backfield and let him work. But man, there's a piece of me too, though, that goes, could you imagine getting into kind of like ought two, right? No running backs, two tight ends, like Komet and Loveland be there as double chip guys. And then you got DJ, you got Luther, and you got Rome. Well, guess what? Now we're going to motion DJ in the backfield because you went dime and we're going to run the ball at you. I think there's some really cool stuff we can get to down the stretch. That's exciting. And I think we got the playmakers to do it finally. So yeah, I think there's a lot there, but
stuff.
I do think
that is air raid.
Yeah. I think Luther deserves some more reps, though. I think 10 should get out there a little bit more, and I think he's earned it.
Real quick, we got to get out of here, Tim, and we always appreciate your time. What do you think of J.J. McCarthy? Is he good?
Oh, man, everybody's kind of roasting him because they're calling him 9 all over Twitter, right? Everybody's doing the 9 thing. I think, you know, honestly, I think J.J. is a lot further behind than some of these other young quarterbacks. I don't mean that in, like taking a shot at him. I just think he's way earlier on. I think he's, you know, Kevin, the O'Connell stuff, like that's a tough system. To me, it's one of those games though, where it's like, man, we let it slip early in the season, I think, right? I think anyone that watched that game kind of felt like, shoot, the Bears should have pulled that one out. Mm-hmm. So to me this week, I think we got to go 2-1, and I think it's realistic to go 2-1 over the next 3. I think they all sneakily present their own issues. Aaron Rodgers is still spinning it every once in a while, so you catch them on a bad day. The Eagles, I think, are going to be tough no matter what. The Vikings, I think we can shut down JJ. The biggest thing when you look at JJ to me is I don't think our defense is going to stop anybody, but I do think the Vikings are ripe for us generating those 2 turnovers, which are what we've needed to then go and win some of these games.
That is Tim Jenkins. We always love getting his perspective. You can check out that full video on his YouTube channel of Caleb Williams and the Bears from Sunday. It is at All Things QB. Tim, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
That's Tim Jenkins. We always love talking every week with him. Coming up next, the Bears have an unlikely critic. And I'm kind of sad. I'm disappointed.
Don't be sad.
No.
Don't
be sad. I mean, it's an unlikely critic.
She's just a baby, Marshall.
If I'm just a baby, then...
Nah, she grown.
Then all of us are...
Compared to us, she's a baby.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
No.
That's fair.
I'm...
You might be old, but you're not as old as us, Layla. You'll never
like
be as old as us.
A permanent teenager.
Grody's elderly. I'm about to drop him off at the home after the show.
Well, we all have...
This guy's younger than me, wow. But I'm just kind of surprised at who said this. So let's listen and examine next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Raheem Harrison Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The School.
Anthony in D.C.
What up? Hey, Grody, what's up, man?
What's up, Tony?
Marshall, I have to say, man, you know I respect you guys, but Buffalo, they have bad L's. New York beat Philly. New York went toe-to-toe to Denver. What is a good team now with a team like us who's meshing together? How can we not be a good team? I think we're a very good team, and we're meshing, and we're on the way to being a solid problem for the league.
Solid.
I love when the callers like also just call us out like Grody. Like, that's good stuff. This is Raheemy Harrison.
What's up, man?
What's up, Booty?
That was so great. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And you know, I did this thing this morning.
What'd you do?
Where I looked at the NFL standings. You know, it's this thing where you look at the teams by record. And then there's a list of the teams in order, and sometimes there's a tiebreaker or whatever else. And then you get to see the win percentage. And well, I'll be, what did I see after that 10-7 barn burner last night? The Packers lost to the Eagles. Could have scored there, but you didn't. Sorry about it.
Sirianni was trying to give it back.
Yeah, that was an odd game. But the enemy is the friend, because guess what? Detroit Lions 6-3, top of the division. The Bears 6-3, also next to the Lions. Yeah, that's right. They're not in first place because they lost to the Lions. But the Packers are 5-3, and the Vikings are 4-5. Well, well, well. Look how the turntables, in the words of Michael Scott. Mm-hmm. That NFC North is it's looking a little different than last year.
Can I just open up your mind to something real quick?
Oh, gentlemen. Let's open our minds, shall we? Hit Party Man by Prince.
Do you know who's next on the team who is technically ahead of the Bears in the division? Do you know what team is next on their schedule? It is the Philadelphia Eagles. There
Eagles!
Is a possibility that we could walk in here.
E-A-G-A-L. How did Les spell it?
Walk in here. It's E-A-G-A-L-E-S.
I can't even misspell it the way he did.
That was incredible.
So they've got to go to Philadelphia for Sunday night football. There's a chance we walk in here.
It's Black Friday football, even weirder.
On Monday. What are you talking? No, I'm talking about this week.
Oh, this week. Sorry.
This week, the Lions, the Lions are going to Philadelphia this week.
E-A-G-A-L-E-S.
It's the A he puts in after the G.
Yeah, the Lions have to do something that will be difficult.
The Lions could literally go to Philadelphia, lose that game, and we could walk into this studio on Monday morning and the Bears could be all by themselves in first place in the NFC North.
Lions lose.
How will we handle that?
Well, first of all, we would just start telling Robbie, we'll bring a live lion into the studio. We won't do that.
By the way, is Party Man the song that was in Batman? Oh, that is a good song.
That's what he says. Jack Nicholson says, gentlemen, let's open our minds, shall we? And look, he hits play on the boom box.
Oh, yes.
We can bring a live Lions fan into the studio.
Oh.
We can do one.
No, we keep him on the other side of
the
glass.
No, Marshall, you're right. That Eagles schedule, by the way, is deceptively tricky. You know, when it comes to who they're facing, but additionally, the fact that they face the Packers and then they have to face the Lions.
So walk with me, and this is why if you go back to 5 on it, you should always listen to 5 on it. If you can't listen in real time, use the rewind feature in the Odyssey app to do that, because we had fun at noon saying how many wins would it take for any of the four teams to win the NFC North. The reason I landed on 11 is this idea that you're looking around. It's kind of what we're talking about right now is how good are these teams? Some of these teams have bad losses. Who has good wins? Like, the Lions still have a game at Philadelphia, a game at the Rams. They've got to play the Steelers. They've got to play, well, the Cowboys and the Giants, too. But they've got to play the Bears also, and the Packers and the Vikings as well. So, like, I can't see them winning more than, you know, probably 5 of those games. Like, if they get to 6, then okay, they've won the division. They deserve to win the division.
I know you like to do math just outright. And I think that at least understanding the baseline of what it takes to win the division wins-wise is a good idea. But I look at it a little more macro even.
And more macro than that? Okay.
Yeah. And I try to macro, not micro. So I try to marry my eye test with what we're seeing. And what you're seeing is, as you mentioned, giving credit to the Rams. This is not the 2024 NFC North. It's good for the Bears. It's not a two-team race. You know, there is definitely a more wide-open race to be had here. But additionally, like I said, 15 wins isn't going to get it done this year. So I said 12 just based on the change from last year to this year. But you're right, 11 is very realistic. The NFC North this year, the best division in football, the NFC at least, is the West. It's Seattle, it's the Rams, it's the 49ers. And fortunately for the Bears, they are not in the same position as the Arizona Cardinals. So that said, I think you're going to get different outcomes across the board. Like, it's not going to be as predictable in the division as a whole for this second half of the season.
Yeah, I think what we saw last night tells us that what we thought were two dynamic offenses in the Packers and the Eagles, was that about the offenses not being as good as we thought? Is that about being two dominant defenses? You tell me, what, based on what you saw last night, Mark, what you think that is.
I mean, like, the names that I have written down, you know, are some offensive, but Jalen Phillips is at the top of my chart here.
With can go get help at the deadline?
You can go get help if the fourth and one stop was...
For just a third-round pick, eh?
Bruh.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I think there's much more offense in these two teams. But that was terrific defense being played last night. Couple of sick off, like the Saquon Barkley spin move. I love a good spin move. And just working off of that for the 41-yarder. And then the 36-yard pass to Devontae Smith was awesome. But to your point, Marshall, like it was, I was pretty invested in the Bulls and not flipping back as often to the football game because I'm like, okay, this we're not seeing, I'm not going to miss much until the fourth quarter.
Well, also, I think, again, the concern that everybody had offensively with Green Bay was who was going to be their number one receiver. And did they have enough receiving-wise to be able to win? And what is still, even when you have Micah Parsons, it's still an offensive league. And what did we see yesterday? The leading receiver for Green Bay, Christian Watson, had 45 yards. Now, they spread the ball around, but it added up for only 176 total. And at the end of the day, even in a 10-7 game, that's where the slight advantages come into play. And that's what I saw last night. And again, it just lets you know, like you talk about sustainable. How do you win without a sustainable receiving core getting yards for you?
Romeo Doubs for one catch for 5 yards. The loss, I think you know what I think last night showed us? The loss of Tucker Kraft means something.
Yeah.
It means something.
Because for them, you know, relatively speaking, who's the main target?
I guess it would be Christian Watson at this point, right?
Right.
And if he's only going to have two catches, then you're doing a pretty good job.
My guy, Dan Weeder from the Take the North podcast, sent out a great tweet last night to describe Jordan Love, that the more he sees him, he thinks he's like the top guy of the mid quarterbacks. That doesn't mean he's bad, but that good for him is not necessarily on the table. And I was like, yeah, you might, like, you put together the whole Jordan Love resume and he's had some great moments. I don't know, man. He might be mid.
Is that Kirk Cousins-ish? Is that Matt Ryan-ish? What are we talking about?
I think
was it Joe Flacco when he was young-ish?
Look, I think Matt Ryan at his peak was way better than Jordan Love, right?
Like that
was
arm talent, like Matt Young or Matt Ryan had more arm talent, I think.
100%. Yeah. Like, and just success in general. But it is interesting to follow. The Packers might have their quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years again, which drives Bears fans crazy. I don't think for him, though, great is on the table.
I'd rather have Caleb Williams than Jordan Love. I've been saying that since jump.
Yeah.
The hop throw for me is an issue with Jordan Love.
Just because it looks
the back foot, like you can
Aaron
only.
Rodgers-ish.
Well, and for him, I think it's part of how, similar to Cairo Santos having a low trajectory in order to kick a field goal, and you see the susceptibility that happens there. I think it's the opposite. You know, he's trying to get some more velo and air under the ball when he has that trajectory. Love and accuracy pays a price when you throw the ball like that.
Speaking of trajectory, did you guys think maybe they were going to make that, Packers were going to make that field goal at the end? Nick Sirianni would have been ruined today on Sports Talk Radio in Philadelphia.
Well, the game would have theoretically been tied.
And overtime.
Well, yeah. You still have the overtime to contend with, but still, I'm sure they're talking about it today.
Oh, 100%.
I still don't know what he was doing, leaving time on the clock. Going downfield on a pass on fourth and six is what he did.
Sometimes you just go for it. Yeah, I get it. If you feel like that's open and your guy can execute, it comes down to execution.
Ooh, that's way too risky, though. But anywho.
No, but
Grody's not calling that call.
Take the Packers and the Eagles and putting them like in this bubble and trying to figure out who's what and who's who and what's the hierarchy of the league. Obviously, those are two pretty evenly matched teams based on what I saw last night. Is that a fair assessment of Packers-Eagles?
Not only was it a fair assessment, look at the score. The score tells you exactly what you saw.
And so I'm looking at the Bears and trying to figure out where they fit in so far. The easy answer is we don't know because they haven't played anybody good yet. The one team with a winning record, they got shellacked by.
Well,
mollywopped.
And then the other division rival, they lost to in a disappointing game in the season opener.
Right.
You know, they let a quarterback who we're still trying to figure out where he stands in all of this, and J.J. McCarthy, they let him beat them.
I think my favorite thing in all of this, though, guys, and this is what you really have to take into account. With all these other teams we're talking about, it is a set standard of who they are and what they are and their identity and everything else. I don't think anyone has more upside than the Bears because they are still very much evolving in year one of a new coach and a second year quarterback. They have the most runway to be better than what they are today compared to all these other teams we're talking about with 6 and 7 and even 8 wins.
I think it's time for a mollywhopping. Don't you, Layla? Time for a quick mollywhopping?
I don't know they're going to mollywop anyone inside.
I don't know either.
Minnesota.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's the concern about that is the opportunity was there for them on game one of the season.
Yeah.
They could be 7-2.
I hate to be this person.
Be it.
Until a healthy and actually healthy Lions team in the playoffs is a different team than what we saw last year.
Oh,
even without Ben Johnson as their coordinator. Keep in mind how many people they had on injured reserve last year. 16.
Jesus.
So, yeah. Then, and there's only so many of those you get to bring back. So, I don't know, man. December with the Lions, especially when you consider that last game of the year, I ain't writing them off anytime soon.
Oh, God,
but I'll enjoy these standings.
I just want that last game to mean something.
By the way,
that's all I'm asking.
Real quick, outside of the NFC purview, and I know we got a break here. The Patriots for like 7 straight wins, man. Is that
Drake May's in the MVP conversation?
It's crazy.
Leading the MVP.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, Robbie.
Odds on favorite.
Write that down.
Robbie? Write that down,
Robbie.
Second year quarterback leading an MVP.
How is he going to hold a Chris Kindle Market hot chocolate mug and have mittens on and write stuff down?
And no voice texting. You need to write it down.
That's simple. You got the mittens with the removable, you have your fingers free, the pullback mitten.
There that only allows for
we'll
one.
Get it for you.
I'm not wishing ill health on Drake May, but I will say this. You can't be winning MVP if you're not on the field. And when you've been sacked 35 times, only trailing Cam Ward this season, he looks like if they don't get, some better protection for him, he might not make it to the
end. Caleb got sacked 68 times and still played all 17.
That's a good point.
He's tough.
They're just babies.
Just babies.
Tough babies. They just fall all the time.
They're babies made
up.
Out of rubber bones. I don't know what happens there.
Remember not like that. Us. We fall down. It's over.
Yeah. Are you kidding? I'm like, am I going to get bursitis if I move wrong?
Joe Flacco falls down. You're like, somebody get him.
Yeah. And Joe Flacco's like, I'm throwing the ball as fast as I can so I don't get hit.
Rodgers.
Joe Flacco has survival on the line. These guys get sacked and it doesn't even matter.
I miss the fearlessness of being 23.
I wasted it on working. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, let's continue with the fun, shall we? I think we need to revisit the Dolphins head coach who I mentioned might be on the might be next to be fired. But in the meantime, he's having a good time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score, and I appreciate Mike McDaniel living in the moment despite the turmoil that seems to be surrounding his team. Is that a fair way to put it?
I mean, y'all thought he was going to get fired next. Yeah, he still might be the next coach fired.
Layla and I were simpatico on that.
But you saw what he did on Sunday. He whooped the...
At one point, weren't they like shutting the Bills out pretty well?
It was 16-0 for a long time.
Yeah, and then they end up scoring 30 points in the win.
Bills.
Because the NFL is an unlikely thing. You're right, Marshall. Any given Sunday, Dolphins beat the Bills 30-13. So
that was their moment.
Mike McDaniel and his crew lives to see another day. And I guess he's just flying high, huh?
He is flying high.
He was asked if it was him in the photo circulating online, where he looks to be driving by a Bills bar after the Dolphins beat the Bills on Sunday.
But there's a picture of you strolling down the Elbow Room, I guess near A1A. Looks like your car, looks like you, looks like your watch. Is that AI or is that real?
Well, you know, that's why I like the good old days, you know, the throwbacks of yore where you could trust, you know, the internet and the images. Because, you know, that is pretty detailed. That, you know, I do live in that area, but, I mean, AI, right?
Well.
So it doesn't answer the question.
Well. I mean,
are you confirming or denying?
I mean, I live in that area. AI is real. That's what I got for you.
I love how he gives you both sides of the coin. He's like, by the way, I do live in that area. I'm going to go ahead and edge it out a little bit more. But AI is a thing.
That's some I went to Yale logic right there. That's what that is. That is established facts, but don't confirm any. So that's a yes. What I understand that to be is a yes.
So, you think that was him? That was absolutely him.
What did you? If you don't deny that in that moment, then it was him. 100%. Okay. A1A.
Beachfront Avenue.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Beachfront Avenue, is it?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Okay.
What did you think it was?
I have, up until this moment, it's happened again. I thought it was Detroit Avenue.
Why?
Probably because Vanilla Ice.
Beach. It's on
you
the
ain't
beach.
My beach.
Okay. I had no
A1A
idea.
A1A is the road that goes along the Atlantic coast in Florida.
And I actually know that, but up until 150-47 it is right now in life, I thought that was Detroit Avenue. And I was almost going to say it, sing it, which would have brought you to your knees even farther than you're going right now, Layla.
I can't breathe.
You know what? I Googled it because I just want to see if this is something that happens.
Yeah.
The original response
yes.
on the AI over you.
And?
The phrase Vanilla Ice Detroit Avenue is a common mishearing of the lyrics from his song Ice Ice Baby, which actually says A1A Beachfront Avenue.
Oh, my God.
You're not alone, Mark.
But see, because he is from Detroit. Yes, yes. Vanilla Ice?
No, he's from Carrollton, Texas. My friend's dad arrested him once.
All white rappers are the same.
I'm so embarrassed for us right now.
Last night, I was examining the lyrical effing genius of the first verse of Till I Collapse. Do not mention Eminem and Vanilla Ice in the same sentence again.
Do you understand Roland, how offensive that is?
I'm a 5.0 with a rag top down so my hair can glow.
Listen to Till I Collapse today. And tell me how that is still timeless.
Okay. I actually never knew where Vanilla Ice was from. South Dallas.
Yeah, but I think my friend's dad arrested him in Carrollton.
We're not going to stop.
Detroit Avenue, baby.
We have not been collaborating.
Rolling in my 5.0.
Oh, my goodness.
I hate
I'm not
it.
Listening.
So So, you know what? If I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm trolling that Bills bar too. Who cares?
Can I tell you something really embarrassing?
I would do the same thing. And I'd probably say the same stuff on the microphone if I knew I did it.
The picture, by the way, of him like in the car in the convertible, it looks just like 50 Cent, that meme. Where he pulls up and then peels off. That's what it looks like.
My buddy and I.
You know who 50 Cent is, right?
I do. I know all these guys are. My buddy and I at ISU, whenever that song was out, had to be like 92 or something like that, literally rolling around Bloomington Normal in my buddy's Mustang. I had a rich friend.
A 5.0 Mustang?
We were in a 5.0 Mustang with the rag
rolling
top
in
down.
Your 5.0?
With that song blasting.
I bet you were.
That song blasting. So everybody could hear us in the dorm at Manchester Hall and Hewitt Hall at Illinois State University. Yes.
How old were you in 1990 when Ice Ice Baby came out?
That would be my first year in college. I graduated amazing. High school in 90.
Ice is back with a brand new invention. Yes. Something that grabs a hold of you tightly, flows like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop?
No.
I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow.
Check
to
out
the extreme,
the
I like
the
a right like a vandal.
It.
Light up the stage and watch me jump like a candle. Dance.
You're awesome.
No, I'm not.
That was awesome. You weren't even trying.
So I stopped by sonicsdjbooth.net yesterday, and he was playing like the mandatory four songs back to back.
Talk about Down the Hallway?
Yes, yeah. And one of them was Till I Collapse by Eminem. So then I got home and I was like, man, that verse is ridiculous. And then here you are, desecrating his name and his resume by mentioning Vanilla in the same sentence.
Like, if you just look at the content of their first hits, where you have Ice Ice Baby versus My Name Is.
My Name Is.
The lyrics are very different in theme.
I know how much more talented of a... Like, Eminem's one of the greatest of all time.
He is.
Right? Top five?
There's a scene where he talked about, with Jake Gyllenhaal, that song, and how basically he could write it in 5 minutes' time. Till I Collapse. Like, I don't understand that level of brilliance.
He was on 60 Minutes, for crying out loud.
Ice Ice Baby never made it to 60 Minutes.
Aw, yeah.
But the 5.0 Mustang is also something that should be celebrated. Do you know why it's called the 5.0? Because the volume of the cylinder was 5 liters. Horsepower, baby.
Well, well, well.
Spiegel and Holmes are next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.